I'm interested because I spent most of my career being involved in education, mostly involved in the public education system here in Belleville, and now involved in the Virginia College system. And I guess I'm wondering what people see as the connection between the continued hammering away at funding for education. What's the connection between that and poverty? What would your agenda be for education across the country?
Well, as a high school student myself, I can certainly relate to some of the effects of that. I guess, like, looking at, like, a lot of the changes, like, the provincial government's done to education, whether it be, like, primary or secondary or university or post-secondary in any regards, I think it is, I guess, the general effect is first of all, to sort of create sort of to force certain ideologies, to maintain certain ideologies of what people are sort of bound to think, whether that is small things or not small things, but things like, for example, like genetically modified organisms that are promoted through the new curriculum as highly desirable and from promoting like humanity through the sciences or whatever like that. And, or for example, introducing more and more business courses so that students can't take, for example, courses they'd otherwise take, like philosophy or society courses like that, which people actually get to think about the society they're living in. I think it's sort of an ideological thing. And on another front, too, I think the main factor of what they're doing is an economic effect. And, the blatant effect of raising tuition fees, for example, for college and university, is that people aren't able to go to it. You know, because universities have a bad reputation for colleges for stirring up dissent, for one thing. A lot of intelligent people is always a very dangerous thing. And I guess, and it's much easier to have like a large workforce, which is largely unskilled, which can be pushed around from job to job, and slotted in and go back to training if necessary. Of course, never taught anything like how to like criticality skills, but just taught whatever skills are thought needed for business and math. That's one of the sort of skills, which is one of the new subjects which is being introduced into high school, along with business writing. And like, so you can speak in business talk or something as opposed to normal English. Well, that's my response.
Any more responses?
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that. I think the effect is twofold, and the model of education that we should be looking for in this province or anywhere, I think there's a twofold response to that. First of all, we have to talk about what kind of access we want to education, and then we need to talk about what kind of education we want. And on the first question, I think one of the fundamental things that I think we need to be fighting for is universal education, and not just to defend it, but to fight for universally accessible post-secondary education. Because that is something that is available in so many countries, and we don't have it here, and it's absolutely ludicrous that our governments would be looking to market models, and the universities and colleges would be looking to market models to deliver education when we know that they don't work. And then the second thing that I'd like to say about education is just the nature of the education system and how it does perpetuate a lot of the problems that go on. I mean, think back to when you were in first grade. Kindergarten, first grade, whatever, you were given an assignment and you're told to do it. You know, you do the assignment, and if you defy the teacher and you say, I don't want to do that assignment's dumb, then ultimately, you're not going to get very far because the system encourages submission to authority. And that kind of submission to authority is something that we have to continually question. Every authority has to prove its own legitimacy, or else it's not legitimate. And my vision of an education system is one that everyone can access, but one that does not promote these same kinds of structures, and most importantly, does not promote passivity when there needs to be resistance. Thank you.
All right, we'll take questions from now on in this microphone here. Can we have the next question? Yes?
Yeah. Can you test it for me? People are having trouble hearing.
I'll be honest, this isn't a question. I just want to throw out an observation, post-September 11th observation for your thoughts and comments. I think September 11th and the way it is turning out, the way it is shaking down, is making Canadian nationalism a higher priority for progressives and socialists in this country. While the media is talking about Defense Minister Eagleton making a mistake in talking about American prisoners in Guantanamo Base, the media is ignoring the real story that our military forces are being folded into the United States at the same time that American dollar may well take over, well, the Canadian dollar. I think we have to reflect a bit on how people who express alternative visions are treated in the United States compared to Canada. And I do believe that there are some very significant differences and that the situation in the United States is much more scary. Certainly the Bush and Reagan regimes have a history of murdering leftists around the world. I think it's really only a matter of time until they start doing it to their own, within their own country. So, I think we really, all of us who wish to speak out, who wish to not see dissent criminalized, have to make common cause with all Canadians who are working to preserve our freedom of movement, our freedom of independent thought in this country. I think that issue has become suddenly extremely critical. Any thoughts?
Sure. Look, while I entirely agree that it's really important that we try to protect what little rights we have left to speak out in Canada, I think it's important to recognize that the Canadian state definitely does silence people and marginalize people and stop people from speaking all of the time. I could go through a litany. I mean, people have already made reference to a lot of First Nations resistance movements in Canada. In Guelph, they're looking at changing the jail that was just shut down into an immigration internment center. I don't think we're looking at preserving the rights that we have or sort of talking about how great the Canadian state is for freedom of expression, but so much as looking critically at who is repressed the most in our society and what sorts of speech has already been criminalized and throughout history been criminalized, and fight against that while at the same time seeing now that our rights are more limited, taking a stand against that as well. I think it's for sure useful to talk about the oppressive regime of the United States, but we can't just sit complicitly by and pretend that Canada is all that, you know, much more of a free or democratic society at all. I may have the right to speak, like as somebody who's visibly white, who has a little bit of a university education, people might cause a bit of a fuss when I get like strip searched in my local jail or whatever. But the fact of the matter is the Canadian state has been repressing and killing people who've been fighting for their rights for a long time, and we can't pretend that that hasn't gone on and just talk about the state's increased repression.
I think we should make common cause with ordinary people, but we should be making common cause on the basis of clear principles, you know, principles of social justice and fighting against poverty. And often, I think Canadian nationalism is a way to mask that social reality, and we have to be very careful of that. There used to be that old debate about socialism in one country, and often when I hear a lot of Canadian nationalism, it seems like all they're asking for is capitalism in one country, you know, like as long as it's happening here and the Americans are involved, everything is okay. So I'm very skeptical of that idea of Canadian nationalism. I think it's a way of masking things. I think that common cause should be made with ordinary people everywhere. And often that nationalism is trumpeted out to sort of mask things. Some of the liberal backbenchers, for example, who brought in free trade, who are total apologists for a lot of the economic policies that we've seen,
are some of the most vocal, or you know, some of the most dissenting people about what the liberals are doing in terms of the war. And I don't really see much common cause with them, you know, because of their economic agenda. So I'd like to maybe strike a note of extreme caution when it comes to using the Canadian flag as a basis for which to go forward with progressive movements. We should be making common cause, but you know, on clear principles.